We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it's as good a reason if any to convert. Thank you for being with us. It's the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Did you have a nice night two of Hanukkah, Spiegs?
I did. I had a... had kind of a gift of the Magi moment, which is, of course, a Christmas story.
Mm-hmm.
But Christina and I gave each other the exact same thing last night. That was pretty funny.
Wow.
Adorable.
You're like a couple that's been married for 40 years.
Yeah, or not married yet.
Yeah.
One of the two.
You need bath towels. No, you need bath towels.
That was a book. We gave each other the exact same book based on a movie we had watched together about a month ago. So we went out and got the same book, and we happened to give it each other on the same night. What does it mean, Danny? What does it mean? It means that the White Sox might get Manny Machado.
I think that is what it means. Which season do you enjoy more, Hanukkah season or hot stove season?
Hot stove season.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Clearly,
really,
it's
it?
Longer than Hanukkah.
Yeah.
The gifts might be more plentiful.
More expensive.
And there's more tension. The tension and the excitement is palpable. And I'm happy for White Sox fans that they get to feel this kind of stuff in this way. It's a different kind of thing than it's ever been for White Sox fans. I hope they're enjoying it. And I think they are, even though it might be scary to think about what could happen here.
I love this stuff. Because to me, this is big picture. This is building your organization towards the championship window. This is who's a buyer, who's a seller, who's in, who's out, who's got job security, who doesn't. This type of stuff is like chips on the table, let's see what you got.
Absolutely. Who's got the vision? Who is going to be tempted to possibly circumvent the vision because something incredibly shiny has appeared? And, you know, there's a lot of danger to possibly doing that. And that temptation is something that every GM has to fend off. And it's Rick Hahn's turn to decide what to do.
So to me, while this is complicated, what prospects would you be willing to give up? Machado's apparently not going to give the team that trades for him a negotiating window. The Orioles would not grant that. So you would be trading for a player just for the 1 year with hopes that you could convince him.
Yeah, let's map out the risk and reward real quick here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the risk being you'd give up some of your assets to three of your well-procured assets, and you get one non-competitive season out of Manny Machado, and you cannot sign him long term. So he potentially leaves, or if he's still healthy, you flip him at the trade deadline and try to recoup some of the prospects that you have given up for him.
Those are the risks. And obviously, worst case scenario is you trade a prospect haul for 1 year in a non-competitive season for Manny Machado. He doesn't give you any indication that he wants to sign with you on the south side of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And then a very durable player who has played in 156, 157, and 162 games the last 3 years,
yep,
gets hurt with a serious injury in the first half of the season. Therefore, there's no value for a team to trade for him for half of a season.
And you can't get anything.
And then you just lose him when he walks in free agency and still signs a $300 million contract. Because there's basically no injury that Machado could suffer this year that's going to hurt him next offseason.
Well, not necessarily in terms of the bigness of it. I mean, if he tears an ACL and he's out for at least the first half of 2019,
he still signs a contract in excess of $250 million.
Even with an unrecovered ACL at that point?
He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's got 138 home runs at 25 years old.
He's a beautiful player. He's got two gold gloves at third base, and he wants to go back to shortstop, which is his natural position, and he's dying to play.
So those are the risks. But the reward is you get a top 10, top 15 player in the sport who immediately becomes the face of your rebuild if you get him and he signs.
If he signs.
Yeah, but that's the reward. Like, you have to, if you're going to talk about the absolute worst case scenario, that you trade him, you give up prospects, he doesn't sign, he gets injured, and you lose him for nothing.
Uh-huh.
You have to also talk about the possible best case scenario,
okay, so,
which is you trade for him and you get one of the best players in the sport and he signs a 10-year contract with the White Sox.
Right, and then you've given up the prospects in addition to giving him the 10-year contract.
Correct.
For a year of not of probable non-competitiveness and a lesser draft pick along the way of your process. I'm just saying, like, you know, think about everything that's, you know, you might win a few more games with him or something like that. You know, so that's in there as a small factor.
Very small.
Okay, but you're giving up the assets instead of just the money. You're giving up the assets too in order to cement the relationship.
Right. Well, because I think the logic there would be right that the White Sox have a better chance. We would agree with this. Mm-hmm. If the White Sox are going to sign Manny Machado long term,
yeah,
they have a better chance of doing that with him on the White Sox than just on the open market next offseason.
I would think that's the case. But you know, I would think so because they have a good thing going with their players and with their culture, including very much Jose Abreu. So then are you locking in to keep Abreu as part of your thing as well?
Well, I mean, probably, but it's just you have a better chance of building relationships, comfort, familiarity, selling him on competence.
Yes, but you yourself debunked that yesterday as we were talking. Not debunked, but you know, struggled with that when we were talking about David Price a few years ago from a Cubs sense, and that was with a pennant race, that you're getting the addition of a pennant race plus the idea of trying to woo him while you have him here.
Well, I still think it's overwhelmingly unlikely that this happens, obviously, but there's now enough smoke around the fire that it's at least being talked about and discussed as a possibility, and I don't think that Manny Machado is going to not hit free agency, but I still think that if he hits free agency, having played one season with the White Sox, as opposed to hitting free agency, playing zero seasons with the White Sox, he's more likely to sign with the White Sox, having played the one season.
Let's go ahead and grant that. Let's go ahead and grant that. I think, Danny, that it is incredibly perilous and scary to hear about a GM who has done so much right and an organization that has done so much right since they have shifted to get out of being mired in mediocrity and acquired all these prospects to now give up a couple for a 1 year risk on a fabulous player, that risk of bringing him in. And there is the risk that we talked about. You better have self scouted to an elite degree that the pieces that you're giving up, you have conviction that it's okay to give them up. And that is incredibly difficult to do. How could you know right now if Dane Dunning or Dylan Cease or Alec Hanson or Michael Kopech, God forbid, I think that's a name nobody would want to do.
I don't think Kopech or Jimenez are even starters in this conversation. Like, I would be floored if Eloy Jimenez or Michael Kopech were traded for one season of Manny Machado.
Or Luis Robert. Like, how many of the guys are off limits to you? Alec Hanson is off limits to me. I mean, Alec Hanson is a guy who believes has ace potential. Yeah. Lots of other people do. You know, and then Dunning, Cease. Lucas Giolito, I would be okay with parting with Lucas Giolito. I got to tell you. Because we've seen some failures in Washington, some failures here, followed by maybe figuring it out. The stuff has decreased a little bit. History of arm trouble, yada, yada. So I'd be okay with that. But there's a long list of, no, you can't have these guys.
My list is not as long as it is for you. But to me, it comes down to it's a very complicated story with a ton of tentacles, and I want to spend a huge portion of today talking it through with you and guests and experts and calls at 312-644-6767. But to me, it boils down to a simple question. Do you trust Rick Hahn? That's it. You said yesterday, last week, a month ago, you want to identify the bad player at the poker table. And in your mind, the bad player at the poker table is the Baltimore Orioles.
And then I heard from a guy in the Orioles front office.
You think that the Orioles are the sucker, and you think that Rick Hahn's good at his job.
Yep.
So you can get a top 15 player in the sport and deal from a position of strength, your farm system, against a weaker executive and organization, the Orioles, and you don't have a degree of confidence that it could work out great, you could get an MVP caliber player.
Yeah, but every time you say that, or anybody thinks that, or anybody writes, you could be getting an MVP caliber player, or a top 15 player, or a top 10 player, whatever, it has to be with the caveat that he could just walk, or he could get hurt, and you get nothing if you have dreams of trading him. You can't just say that, like, he's good. That's the shiny part. The shiny part is, he's good. He's good. He's good. It's not enough that he's good.
I understand that there's risk attached to it, man. I'm not saying that you lock him in for 10 years, but I think that there has to be some benefit of the doubt attached to Rick Hahn and the competency of the White Sox organization that they would not trade untradeable, like untouchable assets for 1 year of Machado, then deal with him for the next, what, 6.5 months before the trade deadline, 7.5 months before the trade deadline, have no indication from him that he's willing to re-sign, and then have them not trade him.
This is the challenge of the moment, is whether you trust Rick Hahn and the White Sox vision. I think you are correct about that challenge of the moment. And the last 2 years have given you reason to do that.
Yeah. I mean, but about since the Sale and Eaton trade going forward.
Last year, even, I mean, since that trade deadline day where he stood there in the dugout and said, yeah, we can't do this. And they clearly pivoted. But before that, and with some of the people that are still in the organization, you don't want to rush this. The danger of rushing this, or the danger of screwing up what has been a very thoughtful, concerted, reasoned effort so far. The danger of screwing that up because somebody else in the organization is screaming, don't do this, do this. No, we can talk him into it. Like, that kind of unhealthy arrogance speaks to other people who have had power before in the organization. And that's the fear, is that anybody would get in the way of what Rick seems to be executing as his vision.
Do you believe that there is a scenario where the White Sox trade for Manny Machado, he gives them no indication that he's willing to sign with them long term, and they don't trade him at the trade deadline to recoup some of the prospects?
Only if he gets hurt.
That, to me, is an acceptable risk. The injury in the first half of the season is an acceptable risk for the shot at an MVP caliber player.
For me. Okay, so that is an acceptable risk for you in regards to which prospects that you're giving up.
Yeah, a couple, right. Because I believe Rick Hahn would use the first half of the season to figure that part of it out. Bring him in, and that they would trade him. And he's a really durable player. I just gave you the numbers, 156, 157, 162. If you traded a couple of prospects for Manny Machado, he got hurt, and you lost him for nothing and you couldn't trade him, it would obviously be devastating and set the rebuild back a significant amount. But I would argue that, would you say he would be the face of the team and overwhelmingly likely the best player that they're going to have based on all the prospects coming up and all of that?
Oh, yeah. Manny Machado is on a Hall of Fame track as a proven major leaguer.
To me, that upside is so high.
It's
that
huge.
It's worth the risk of injury in the disaster scenario.
Let me make another point on your side, or on the side of this. The Orioles do not want to deal within their division with the Red Sox or the Yankees, right?
Correct.
Two systems that have a bunch of pieces that might be appetizing.
Yep.
It's entirely possible that Rick Hahn talks to the Yankees and or Red Sox, talks to Dombrowski, blah, 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 talks to
Dombrowski, blah, blah, blah,
Brian Cashman, blah, blah, blah. We don't have that. But he talks to those guys and says, okay, we're going to get Machado. So we have a few months to talk to him, and or we have, you know, 3 months to have him play and check us out and try to keep him. If we want to get rid of him, will you give me A, B, and C? Like have a back pocket.
To circumvent the Orioles not being willing to trade with the Yankees, but Rick Hahn has a contingency trade available to send him back to the AL East.
Talking about a delayed three-way here, Danny. The delayed three-way, which is never quite as satisfying, but is still excellent. So the delayed three-way here with the Yankees and or Red Sox in your back pocket, as long as he doesn't get hurt, then what it is being creative. It's like a sign-in flip, right? It's like a free agent sign-in flip where you've spent an asset, in this case money, and then flipped them at the deadline. And we see those things all the time, and White Sox should be doing those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So this is using the asset of prospects for a glorified sign-in flip. It's just dangerous as hell.
And it's absolutely dangerous, and it's risky, because I still think that Manny Machado would be a fool to not hit the open market. I think he would just be insane to not hit the open market. And if he hits the open market, even if he gives you his word that if you make him the top contractual offer, he's willing to sign with you, what if a team blows you away by $75 million? what if his dream team really does come in and overwhelms him, and he gave you his word, he looked you in the eye, he loved everything here, you did everything right, and then one team's like, you know what, screw $300 million, let's make it four. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can't control that, and then you lose out, and then it sucks.
This is what happens when reasonable people have a conversation. We end up making points on each other's side of the conversation.
Oh, it's complicated, it is, man. Very complicated. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know exactly what Rick Hahn should do, but I do think the fundamental question of do you trust Rick Hahn to do the right thing for the White Sox is mm-hmm. the one thing that you have to answer.
There are other people in the organization, too. There are just other people in the organization. Now, remember that leaks come from one team or the other, or an agent, or what have you, and it is certainly in the Orioles' interest to have one of the best farm systems in the world be being plucked over by dime store general managers like you and me. It is in the Orioles' interest to have this being discussed to this level. Oh, my God, the White Sox might give them Kopech,
right,
or whichever name they want to get thrown out there.
Of course.
It's very much in the Orioles' best interest. They're sitting pretty. They're sitting pretty in terms of people coming after them. I can't believe they're going to give up on them. Can't believe they're going to give up Manny Machado. But they're a weird organization, and we know that. They're fielding all kinds of offers.
The opening segment brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Searching for the perfect stocking stuffer? Let Exergen help. The temporal scanner thermometer is compact, accurate, and will come in handy with the holiday colds, available at a retailer near you. 312-644-6767, all over the Cubs hot stove stuff as well. White Sox fans, do you trust Rick Hahn? We want to hear from you next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rick Hahn from yesterday, avoiding saying Manny Machado's name, which is smart.
There were some gymnastics involved just to get to a question that he would answer, you know?
Yeah.
And then they got there, and he went on about being creative, taking a risk, you know, that kind of thing. And it's certainly an exciting risk to think about a player of that quality, that much of a proven commodity, to get here with then a chance to stay.
You obviously know about like the similarity scores on Baseball Reference, right? Mm-hmm. So I looked it up for Machado today. They do it every year, right? Like who your most recent similarity score is for your career, like factoring in the most recent season.
Yeah.
So every year for his career, it had been the same player. Or for the last 4 years, excuse me, it had been the same player. It changed this year. It changed this because this year was a slightly down year. So it was downgraded to Ron Santo. The previous player, Adrian Beltre.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing.
I mean, if I had to choose...
He's an amazing baseball player.
If you had to choose
player.
A third baseman in baseball to build around, to have for the future, it comes down to Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryant, Manny Machado.
Right. I mean, like, what's the list of players definitively better than him, position players in the sport?
Trout.
Altuve.
Tuve. I mean, you can't say Aaron Judge. He's just done it for a year.
Say Goldschmidt?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. But at Goldschmidt at first base, which is a very, very deep position. Machado, if Machado can play shortstop for you too, which like he wants to, then you're hearkening back to like the Miguel Tejada, Nomar at his prime, you know, in his prime, A-Rod kind of level of offensive production from a shortstop.
You go Correa?
I love Correa, but Machado's more proven than Correa.
I agree. I'm just talking, I feel like people don't, not that they can't or don't, but like, I don't know that everybody fully grasps how good of a player he mm-hmm. is, right? You don't watch him every day, you hear the name, oh, he's in that group of under 25 stars.
Right.
He, in any given year, he could be the best baseball player in this town.
He's also a notorious hothead. He is young.
Which I like.
And feisty, and he will fight you. He will happily fight you. I heard our buddy Joe Ostrowski ask a very funny question this morning on Mully and Hanley, which is the next time Chris Sale and Manny Machado face off and Machado gets hit again and Machado threatens to run out at Sale again, who you rooting for, Sox fans?
That's tough. That's a tough question.
Maybe not that tough. If Machado's here in this uniform, it'll get a lot easier.
No, of course, if he's signed here. Why I still will be so like it's this is just a fun thought exercise. I wouldn't get too excited as a Sox fan because it just doesn't strike me that 1 year away from free mm-hmm. agency when everybody can bid on you that you would commit to signing early, and then it's just such a huge risk acquiring the guy who's not going to commit to signing early.
It is massive, but we see it in all sports. We see it in the NBA all the time. This is when players have the most leverage now is not in the free agency, but in that season approaching free agency. You saw Paul George go back to into Indianapolis last night, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like guys force their way into situations if they can, and their teams sometimes have to make a deal. So it's poker.
It's so risky, but he is the type of player that to me is worth at least exploring the risk.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Rick Hahn from this morning at the winter meetings as they conclude.
That's this morning, huh?
Yeah, that is this morning.
Amidst the flurry of all the news and the rumors.
He's downplaying it. He wants to downplay expectations.
Nothing has changed in terms of the vision and what they're trying to accomplish. All right. Just telling you. Trust me. You've seen what I've been doing. I've been transparent. Yes. I've been telling you what I've been doing. Don't freak out and think we're going to do something stupid or crazy.
Which begs the question, do you trust Rick Hahn?
Yes, and begs the question, is he admitting that doing this would be stupid and or crazy?
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. I think that he's saying he would only do it
if the reasoning fit perfectly into
what his previously stated goals were, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's dismissing it out. Now, I do think that the idea that it's out there publicly and they pride themselves on like clandestine operations. You remember how the Quintana Cubs trade broke?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I do think that that part of it is, hey, I'm telling you where these are coming from.
That's what it sounds
like. The reason this is out there so publicly is from them. Like, yeah, I'm doing my due diligence. I'm sniffing around. I'm interested in it. But I'm only going to do it if it fits in our plans. Mm-hmm. The reason this is out there for you is because these guys are loose talkers. Let's talk to you guys. 312-644-6767.
Speaking of loose talkers, let's get some of ours.
Yeah, seriously. John and Joliet, what's up? You're on the score.
Good morning, guys. Steve, I understand what you're saying about messing with the future and everything, but look at this beautiful, shining diamond that has range, power, speed. It's just an unbelievable thought for Sox fans to be able to see this guy play up the middle with Makata. I mean, if Everson Garcia has the year he has last year, just the thought of Machado, Abreu, and Garcia in the lineup. And, man, I'm just so excited for this that I don't even care what the Hawks, Bulls, or Bears do.
Yeah, Johnny!
Let me ask you, John. I'm just curious. Does this make you more or less likely to get a ticket for Sox Fest?
Yeah, right. Yeah, good call, John.
If ever we're looking for motivations to have news and rumors out there. No, man, I get it.
Hell yeah,
I get
it, too.
It's fun as hell to think about.
Campy, you're rolling your eyes. What? I understand that sentiment. Are you kidding? He's Manny Machado.
Of course. Yeah, I get it. But it's still making it sound, and then there were the other things in there. You know, Avi Garcia has the same year he had last year. Okay,
well, yeah.
Have fun with that.
You know what that was? And that it's the White Sox version of, we're not that far away, which was a failing Cubs mantra for years.
It's having hope. It's what it is. It's having hope. It's believing that you finally are running competently. And oh my God, we might be a desirable destination. And oh my God, we could get Manny Machado. All that's like it leads to hope.
You remember how in the early days of the Cubs rebuild, some radio host was asking Theo Epstein about, hey, how about Javier Baez? We want a cookie. Need a cookie. The fans want a cookie. Get Javier Baez up here. Why don't you bring him up? And Theo dismissed it with a beautiful volley of not trying to give you a cookie, trying to give you the full meal. We want to wait and cook the entire meal and have you have the entire meal on one table. At Gifted Organist tweeted me this morning and says, this Machado deal seems like a meal where it's a steak dinner, but there's no guarantee of getting anything more than just that first bite of the steak dinner.
Yeah.
That's his fear. That's the fear of the downside that perhaps, Campy, you can speak to on some of the risk of this if it were to go poorly.
Of course.
Right?
There is risk. I don't think that you can run your organization or your life, though, through fear of worst case scenario. Because even if you trade for him and he doesn't sign, you can trade him to a contender for half a season, get a ton of prospects for it. The only doomsday scenario is trading prospects for Machado. He won't sign, and then he suffers a huge injury that is season-ending, yeah. So no one wants to trade for him. That's the only scenario where you get nothing for this transaction.
We have a lot of texters dreaming up the Yankees angle on the delayed three-way that I was talking about.
Sure.
Not incredibly desirable, but still very satisfying, the delayed three-way. Dreaming of getting Gleyber Torres use here as a prospect after Manny Machado comes here and then goes to the Yankees afterwards.
Chris and Niles is on the score. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Hans completely earned my trust. He fleeced Washington. He fleeced Boston. He got great return from the Cubs for Quintana. Robber, Eloy, and Kopech would be the only three where I would be, upset. Anybody else? Yeah, he's completely earned it.
That's my list, too. But I also am not going to pretend like I know everything about every one of the prospects,
sure.
Right? It's just what other people have read and all that. So that's where you have to – that, to me, is why the trust question is for Rick Hahn. It's not just about Machado being good or the willingness to sign him. It's being comfortable that the risk attached with giving up what you know, like he knows those guys in the Sox organization better than anyone.
Mm-hmm. A very smart Sox blogger, Jim Margalis of Southside Sox, reminded me of Tin Stap today. You know what Tin Stap is? There is no such thing as a pitching prospect. That's Tin Stap. That's the acronym.
I like that.
Coined by Baseball Prospectus founder Gary Huckabee. Back when they were talking about how stop overvaluing your pitching prospects. Some of them pan out. A lot of them pan out.
Yeah.
But some of them do not. It is risky. It is crazy. Guys get hurt. Different things happen once they reach the majors, etc. So if you keep that in mind to back up your point, you know, Tin Stap means that that list should be incredibly short.
Yeah, and I think
I'd put Hanson there for sure. I'd have Kopech and Hanson there. And then I like Dunning and I like Cease. But, you know. It's
so you'd have all of them ranked over Giolito?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
I think we've seen up and downside of Giolito on the big league level. We've seen a pile.
Yeah, but you've seen big league stuff at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to some of the uncertainties, if you subscribe to the Tin Pap, or what'd you call it?
A Tin Stap. I'm not saying I subscribe to
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
I'm saying that a lot of people do. A lot of smart people do.
We'll keep getting your reaction on this. It's going to be a dominant force of the show. We have Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus in 20 minutes.
And the Cubs had a very interesting, weird guy in terms of delivery.
And there's a pattern developing for the Cubs. We'll discuss it coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A few texts at 670-11 have made me laugh and made me think, as you guys often do. Here's one. The White Sox in the delayed three-way getting Gleyber Torres from the Yankees means Cubs fans have to watch Torres and Eloy Jimenez hit 3-4, win 10 World Series, and go to the Hall of Fame as members of the White Sox.
Nice. There you go.
There's his Cub-infused wet baseball dream.
I enjoy that, sure.
Here's one. No, Danny, the worst outcome would be thinking you're a contender around July 31st and keeping Manny Machado for a playoff run, missing the playoffs, and then watching him walk for nothing.
That's
a terrible scenario, right?
That is a slightly worse scenario than Machado suffering an injury and getting nothing for him.
Yeah, that means you get nothing and you move down to the middle of the first round of the draft, etc.
However, you then don't trust Rick Hahn. Like you can't trust him then. Like you honestly, you don't believe that Rick Hahn is running the show. You don't believe that the Sox are committed to a rebuild. Like, there to me is not a scenario where they go for it.
This texter, and I think a lot of others, are poisoned by decades of the deadline being approached as, let's grab that one more piece and contend, even though we're not really that good.
I understand that.
Decades.
I honestly do, right? It's like Bears cynicism. You're conditioned for it and you come by it honestly. Like,
right.
I do empathize with it, but maybe this is a time when, you know, rational, your boy Park over here has, like, could be a little bit of a guiding light. You don't trade Chris Sale and Adam Eaton and bottom out and trade Quintana and get all these prospects to then all of a sudden go for half a season with Manny Machado. You just don't do it.
I think that you should know that every time you refer to yourself as Park, it devalues your opinions just a little
bit. That's fine.
Just
no problem, babe. No problem, babe. Yeah, it's totally fine.
It does not make me vibe with you.
Yeah, I get it. I hate that nickname. I was mad that it came here. You brought it here.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Passan brought
Jeff Passan
it.
Brought
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Passan brought
your
it.
Your buddy.
That's true.
Your pal.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan called you Park the first time we had him
he
on.
He is my buddy. I'll forgive him
oh,
for that.
Yeah. I seized upon it and ran with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, trust me. I hate it. But it conjures back to some
right?
good memories.
I know. I understand. But yeah. There's a direct correlation to the value of your opinions every time you refer
right,
to
fine.
Yourself as
fair enough.
Just so you know.
Daniel Parkins, the rational thought provider. No, but it's not going to happen.
Like that's a business card.
That just will not happen.
Can I find you on my list of rational thought providers?
Please. Yeah.
Unless it involves
Kyle it's a consulting
Schwarber.
Gig that I have on the side
right,
to
understood.
Supplement my income.
All right. So ordinarily, this would be a lot bigger today, but it is big and it'll have lasting effect. The Cubs signed another relief pitcher. His name is Steve Cishek. He is a submariner, straight up submariner. Who finished the year in Tampa. His last 2 years have been the best of his career. Last year, between two teams, over the course of, I think, 49 games, he had a whip under 0.9. Anything under one is pretty damn good. This was under 0.9. Everything sinks. He's got a sinker. That sinks. Hmm. He's got a slider. That has been described as a worm burner. Even a slider being described as a worm burner because he starts so low with that submarine style. It kind of floats a little but goes sideways and stays low. And even his fastball has sinking action. So a heavy, heavy ground ball guy for a very good defensive infield and certainly trustworthy in some late innings. He's been used occasionally to close with hit and miss success, but a long career so far with reasonable success. And the last 2 years, very, very good. So it's a 2-year deal.
I like adding a piece to the bullpen that is just completely change the look guy. Like, that's fun to have in a bullpen when you talk about guys identifying roles and all that. This is the Jim Hickey influence, right?
Yes.
He spent the second half of last year with Tampa Bay. You hire their pitching coach. He knows Joe Maddon. He signs off on this. We've talked to Jim Hickey before. So this is, you know, oh, hey, are we interested in Alex Cobb? We got Jim Hickey. Are we interested in Steve Cishek? We got Jim Hickey. And then you want to talk about like a competent organization, identifying a plan, sticking to it, and executing it at the winter meetings?
Yeah.
Tyler Chatwood is still the largest free agent contract that has been given out this offseason in baseball in terms of pure dollars. Three years, $38
million. Mm-hmm.
The Cubs signed Brandon Morrow, 2 years with an option. They signed Drew Smyly, 2 years. They signed Steve Cishek,
2 years.
2 years. So spend money, not assets, in trades, no long-term deals, don't break the bank, but retool your pitching staff.
All that stuff conceptually is completely in line
they did
with
it.
What they've done.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
Smyly may be a rotation piece, not this year, but next year. You've got a rotation piece for this year in Chatwood, and then you have two bullpen arms who have the ability to pitch in high-leverage spots.
Yes, you do. And if, as our Bruce Levine said on these airwaves yesterday and then later wrote, the Cubs are very much in play for Wade Davis as they wait out the market a little bit.
Correct.
Can you imagine bringing Wade Davis back into a bullpen that now has Cishek and Brandon Morrow added into it? Along with Strope, who you like. And then you don't have to worry about Edwards so much as a high leverage guy. You've got Morrow and Cishek to get you to Wade Davis in certain games.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great. And it'd be.
Yes, it would.
It would suck for Wade Davis, right? Because the market didn't materialize. Like, if Wade Davis would have been a free agent 1 year earlier, he would have been in line for that 4-for-64 type of contract that maybe is too rich for the Cubs' blood. So he would begrudgingly come back to Chicago, I feel like. I'm sure he would say all of the right things,
yeah.
But he would have lost out on tens of millions of dollars.
A texter points out that Cishek is memorable because he was part of the greatest Cubs comeback in history. I don't know if that's the case, but certainly in the World Series year. That Sunday night against the Mariners after Brian Mattis was given the start that he had been guaranteed. So Theo had to go down after the game and apologize to the players.
Right.
But they came back and won it on a John Lester squeeze bunt and a beautiful Jason Hayward head first slide. Steve Cishek is the one who blew that save.
Nice pull by the texter. Which call do you want here, Paul or Keith?
Let's do Paul in Orland Park.
What's up, Paul? You're on the score.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say, as a Sox fan, I think listening to Rick Hahn is very clear, I think, that he's in charge of this rebuild. And just because of it being a rebuild, he's in charge, that he's let go everybody and he's accumulated all this young talent. And the fact that he said, but he didn't say, in his statement earlier today, he said that it was clear that they're still on the same path as far as the strategy of the way he wants to build the team. That would mean to me that if they were going to go after someone like Manny Machado and trade away some of their young talent that they acquired, they would only do that if they would see him signing a long-term deal. That's what I heard in his statement without him saying that. And I think that would make sense. He's a 25-year-old. I think the Sox are poised to probably be good in the next couple of years.
Hey, Paul, I think you hearing that is very wishful on your part, that he would only do it, or you hearing that a deal would be in place. Like, I don't...
Right.
I don't think there's any way, if I'm Manny Machado, I agree to anything like that, you know, in a trade. You've got... It's going to be an unbelievable free agency boon for him next year. I know it's a busy time for a lot of teams and a lot of players, but he's going to get a lot of money.
Well, the Sox have a lot of money, too, to spend.
They don't
have any really big free agents that they have signed right now. And if they're looking for a long-term all-star type player, they may be willing to pay for it. And Manny Machado might see a good home for a future with a lot of young talent and a winning team.
Good call, Paul. We appreciate it. Texter also says, "How are you really going to be able to get a prospect like Gleyber Torres for half a season without having to give up your top prospects for a full season of Machado?" Totally reasonable point, but if it was to the Yankees and Machado wanted to be there, like Stanton wanted to be there,
yeah.
If the Orioles are not willing to grant you a negotiating window for the player, maybe Manny Machado to go to the Yankees would be willing to do it, and mm-hmm. that's when you would be able to get more value in return at the deadline, right? Like you'd be able to say, "Hey, Manny, we can trade you to the Yankees right now. You interested in talking to them about a long-term contract?" The Yankees come to your agent and say, "How's $350 million sound?" "Okay, yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested in going to the Yankees, getting an extra playoff run, mm-hmm. getting there early, and signing there long-term."
I'm just workshopping here, but help me.
Not that I think you'd get Torres, but
I get you.
It would be a different set of circumstances with them with the Sox trading him as opposed to the Orioles.
Steve Cishek. So Steve sells Cishek's by the Cubs store? Huh? Working with me? Steve sells Cishek's by the, I don't know, Cubs store is really all I got. I'm just glad it's not Pat Neshek, because Steve Cishek and Pat Neshek, who are both sidearmers, both submariners, I always get confused. No? You're nowhere with me? All right. I'll keep working.
Pat Cishek sells seashell down by the seashore.
Pat Neshek sells Steve Cishek by the Cubs store. Something. All right. Keep working.
You did great work with the song that we're recording later on today.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait for that.
You did great work with that. This is not your best.
Holiday singing.
Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.